I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. They telling me to get it. It said that the message I was bringing brought destruction. I put the pen to the pad and said, fuck them. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me from the jump. They'd rather see me slump, face down, shot 5 or 6 times with my kid and a mama in the cop car crying and I'm dying. Stop lying. It's a black and white thing. Redneck ass judge would rather watch a nigga hang than indict what's white. Not right, fuck a news feed. Black man got the same needs as the Jews need. Who me? I demand reparation. Fuck a cowboy, I'm a native, robbed of my nation. I'm an African, black man. Fucked out my language, got me bringing to a white boy. God, that's insane, and if you ask me.
Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, ready to chop it up with you guys on a late night show tonight. We're doing the show early. We're doing an early show because I'm going to be taking care of a lot of business this week because I'm going on vacation next week. So I'm just handling a lot of stuff and I want to get a lot of stuff chopped up. But anyway, the phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the call-in number, ladies and gentlemen. Let me know what's on your mind and all that good stuff. We're going to take that real quick commercial break. So I don't want y'all to go nowhere. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
Yo, if you are a parent or if you are a teacher or if you're somebody who just values education, then you have to pre-order Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an animated DVD series that uses hip-hop to teach kids lessons in math, language arts, drug prevention, and much, much more. You need to check it out right now at giftedandlit.com. Pre-order right now at giftedandlit.com. What's up, family? If you make music and you're looking for experienced, no-nonsense audio engineers that can professionally mix and master your music, then check out my friends at LegendaryMix.com. With over 15 years in the music industry, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional music mixing and mastering for a great price with a very fast turnaround time. You can't beat that. Also, as a bonus, you sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com and you'll receive a discount link and a free music marketing ebook. So drop everything right now. Stop messing around. Go, call, or send a text to LegendaryMix.com at 347-565-5892 or send an email to music@legendarymix.com.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispin, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. And I am your gracious host. I'm Tariq. Y'all know who the hell I am. Ready to chop it up, man. I hope you guys have your 1804 Hidden History of Haiti DVD. I hope you have it right now for the holidays. You need to get it now so that you and your loved ones can watch it for Christmas and for New Year's. Y'all need to have that DVD right now. And also, you need to get all four of the Hidden Colors DVDs, Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Also, for the holidays, man, there's a lot of fresh gear at TariqElite.com. Get that for the holidays, man. We got a lot of good stuff on there, man. You can still get it for Christmas in time for the holidays, ladies and gentlemen. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. It's not going to be a too long show tonight. Just want to chop up some game, touch on a few things. Now, a lot of people are talking about tonight down in Alabama. They elected Doug Jones, U.S. Senate down there, Doug Jones down there in Alabama, the Alabama Senate. It was a real important runoff between him and accused pedophile and Trumpy, somebody who was endorsed by Trump, Roy Moore. Now, Roy Moore is a lifelong suspected white supremacist. Many people accused him of being a pedophile, all types of sexual deviancy. They say that he is anti-Semitic. I mean, just old school, hardcore, suspected white supremacist. And Trump endorsed him. Another suspected white supremacist, Steve Bannon, he endorsed him. So they were really trying to get this guy in the Senate to replace Jeff Sessions' seat. It was very important for them to get another hardcore open white supremacist on the seat. And this was a very important runoff. They ran on white supremacy. They used a lot of coded rhetoric for Roy Moore. And this is very important for black folks to understand. The coded language. They were using the whole build the wall. That's coded language. That's coded white supremacist language. We got to defeat ISIS. More coded language. Law and order. Whenever you hear that law and order talk, that means we got to keep the niggas in line by funding the police to keep murdering these niggas. So they were using a lot of that coded language. Now, I didn't mind one way or another if Roy Moore got the seat or not, because, again, I like my white supremacists out there in the forefront. I like to know who I'm dealing with. And black people actually fare better under overt white supremacy, because that lets us know who we're dealing with, what we're dealing with, and there's no illusion. See, the thing is, we got to be very honest. A lot of times, black folks, we know what the problem is, but we like the lies. A lot of times, black folks, we don't really want to know the truth. And this is why white supremacy has lingered for as long as it has, because we don't really like to address the truth of white supremacy. And when covert white supremacists come around lying to us and coding the language and hugging and kissing, but still practicing white supremacy, we're good with that. Because they get to lie to us, we get to pretend, and it's a big grand old slave plantation party. Same thing in slavery. In the plantations, they let a few Negroes in the house, and they would throw a couple of butter biscuits to you, and you felt like family, and they would also talk to you like your family, because deep down, you were like a family member in slavery to a certain degree. But a family member in the same way a dog is like a family member. You know, a lot of white supremacists, they'll get their dog, and the dog is like, hey, little Roscoe, he's part of the family. You understand? So you become the pet Negro, and you're completely satisfied, and you're completely content with that. So a lot of times, we don't want to know the truth. We like when they come around and lie and give us symbolic things. Okay? So we shouldn't be too content with that. But I like my white supremacists overt. When the white supremacists are overt, that makes us snap to attention. There's no room to lie. They're not going to lie to you. They're going to let you know your position with them right away. And we fare better under that to a certain degree. I call it the Rochambeau factor. If you guys have seen the new movie 1804, almost said Hidden Colors. But if you've seen the movie 1804, we discuss a person in Haiti. With the 1804 is about the history of Haiti and the Haitian Revolution. And there were some allusions with certain Haitians down there, particularly the mulattoes, the black mulatto class. They thought because they were a little bit lighter, they were somehow special. They were a little bit different. They were going to get certain privileges because the French would give them these little categories, these blancs and the coloreds and the Creoles. The French white supremacists would give them these little titles that they would hold on to that gave them the illusion of non-oppression. And when the revolution popped off, Napoleon sent a general named Rochambeau. And Rochambeau did not like black people or mulattoes. As a matter of fact, he hated the mulattoes more than he hated the black folks. So he wreaked terror on all of the Haitians. Mulatto, Creole, black, all. So that made them wake up, and that was very instrumental in them defeating the white supremacist. Because the white supremacist gave them no room for illusion. You understand? So we don't need to be pacified under the illusion of symbolic victories. Now, with that being said, with this thing with Doug Jones, we shouldn't celebrate too soon as black folks, because look, it was black people who got out to vote, and it was black people who got Doug Jones elected. It was black people who got Doug Jones elected. The black people of Alabama, black people in Alabama came out in droves and voted for Doug Jones. If it were not for that black voting bloc, that white supremacist, that open white supremacist, Roy Moore would have been suspected white supremacist. He would have been on the seat. Now, with black folks down there, unfortunately, there was no demand of any quid pro quo. Black people really didn't demand anything of Doug Jones, and I'm very weary of this. This is why I don't want black folks to start celebrating too soon. Because basically, Doug Jones was running on the whole "I'm not a white supremacist pedophile" ticket. So it only made sense to vote for the non-white supremacist pedophile or the open white supremacist pedophile. Now, the thing is, Doug Jones has history in Alabama. Doug Jones actually prosecuted some of the Klan members who blew up the church where those black girls were killed in 1964. I think that's the year. So, you know, that was a big talking point for a lot of people to go support him. You know, he actually punished some white extremists, and it's very easy to do. But again, my thing is, I don't want us to get too caught up on these symbolic civil rights things that these people have done, because they're very good on that. They'll talk about how they marched with King in the 60s, how they prosecuted this case in the 60s, how they did this during the civil rights movement. But how does that translate to what you're going to do now? So I want my folks down in Alabama. Look, I lived in Alabama as a child. I grew up in parts of Alabama. So I know the game out there. So we'll get very pacified because of a symbolic win. And you don't celebrate too soon. Y'all got to start putting some demands on Doug Jones, and we have to use this and show people that our vote is extremely important, and we need to leverage the importance of that vote by putting a black agenda on the table. Y'all need to stay, and I'm talking to my Alabama folks, man, y'all need to stay on Doug Jones's ass and remind him, hey, we got you here. Because it was a very close fucking vote. Those whites, they were voting team white supremacy out there. It was team white supremacy all day, but it was black folks who messed up the bag. And they were doing all types of slick stuff that I saw today. I was checking out some stuff online, and you had police officers showing up at certain polling places in black areas, kind of intimidating people. The word was they might have been checking people's ID or coming at people over warrants. doing little slick shit like that. I heard that was going on, but there was a lot of intimidation with the race soldiers out there. So they were doing all types of stuff to try to secure the bag. But black folks came out in droves and messed up the bag for them. And understand this, people in Alabama, I want my black folks to be very clear. The white supremacists, they know that black folks messed up the bag for them. Now, other people are going to try to take credit for the victory of Doug Jones. But the white supremacists know what's up, and there is going to be a backlash. I want black folks to understand this. There is going to be a backlash. So black folks, you need to get ready, prepare yourself, and start getting some economic cachet popping and some political cachet popping. This is why you need to start hollering at Doug Jones, like, okay, hey, we need you to do some stuff for us because we're going to be attacked for supporting you, so you need to look out for us. Just like with Obama, there was a lot of backlash towards black society for getting Obama elected. And Obama didn't do anything. So we need to start early saying, hey, Doug, holla. What's up, Brick Squad in the room? He sent a story from Vice. Doug Jones wouldn't even campaign on black issues out here. So Doug Jones was dismissive of black issues. Brick Squad, I'm talking to somebody in the chat room. Send me a link of that. See, that's a problem. See, that's the thing. We got to get on people's asses, man. We're not going to let them dismiss us like that. That's why, you know, I congratulate the people of Alabama for coming out and being the moral voice for Alabama. But the thing is, I don't want the black vote to be used and then thrown aside and you're not going to address the issues of black society. You're just going to do the whole benign neglect thing. You dig? And I'm going to find this link and I'm going to play something. Hold on 1 second. Let me play something real quickly. Hold on 1 second. Somebody just sent me a link. So, you know, we do a lot of stuff live here. So 1 second. I'm going to play this. Let me do this while I take a call. What's up? Who's calling?
This is Ron from Cincinnati.
Ron from Cincinnati. How are
you doing,
brother?
Three?
I'm good, man. How are
you? I'm doing really well.
What's on your mind?
I'm good. I wanted to just first of all give you a shout out, man. I got hit to you in like about a year ago, got your most recent book, and caught up on all your work, and it's really great, man. I really appreciate it. My question was, what do you suggest for? I'll put myself in this category, but I'm really speaking generally. What do you suggest for a single black man in his 20s who has trouble working for the dominant society? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that they don't want to gain the wealth, it's not even necessarily that they don't understand what to do with it. You know what I'm saying? But it's about building up that wealth, and the struggle is working for the dominant society. What do you suggest?
Well, the thing is, when you work for the dominant society, you got to start somewhere where you can start building up your own resources, and then you got to venture off and do your own thing. So the name of the game is to stick with them as long as you can get your money together so you can branch off and do your own thing. And you don't want to get too bogged down working for somebody else, because then you won't have time to cultivate something else you have going on. So a lot of times we have to step away from the square job, and we'll have to sacrifice a few paychecks, and you know, we can't ball out like we want to until we can put enough time into doing what we want to do for ourselves. Like, for example, when I started doing books, I couldn't, you know, working a square job would not work for me because I wouldn't have had time to write books. So I had to, you know, sacrifice a lot of stuff to sit down and write books. You can't even really hustle in the streets if you're trying to focus on writing a book. That's something you got to be very dedicated to. So you got to put a lot of stuff on hold in order to cultivate something that you want to do, but you got to be very dedicated to it. And that will make you push harder to make that thing a success. Because if you sacrifice your square job or your hustle money for a new endeavor, that will make you put more energy to it into making it more successful. Just for example, I'll give you another example with the Hidden Colors drum. I put a lot of money in that. And a lot of my own money.
Definitely.
Yeah, I put a lot of my own money in that when I first initially did it. So I'm like, I'm going to make sure this shit is going to be successful. This is going to be successful as shit because I done put too much of my own shit in here and I've sacrificed a lot. So I'm going to go out of my way to really make this thing pop off. And it did, fortunately. So you got to have that mentality for anything that you're passionate about. So that's why it's important to find something that you're passionate about. But anyway, man, thank you for the call, brother. Thank you for the call. This brother's about to be long-winded and I had to cut him off. And shout out to him. I just didn't want to get too sidetracked, but I can already tell brother was a long-winded one. Much respect to you. And shout out to my man Dame Dash. Dame Dash from the Rockefeller Empire Jay-Z thing. He was on Ism Radio earlier today, and I want you guys to check that out. Great interview. We dropped some, chopped up some very good game with my brother, man. Go to Ism, I-Z-M, radio.com, or go to YouTube and type in Ism Radio Dame Dash interview. We chopped up some very good game, man. Dame is very underrated as far as his significance to the hip-hop movement, man. And I talked to him about that today. The Rockefeller era, you know, that was a very unique thing where the whole label was just really popping off and they just had shit on lock. They had the records on lock. They had the clothes on lock, the drinks. And I mean, they really had shit popping and it was really a lot of Dame's energy. You know, Dame brought a lot to that. You cannot dismiss that dude. You dig? But I digress. But y'all go check out the show, man. We chopped up some very good game and you'll really enjoy that. But let me play this clip my brother in the chat room sent me about people talking about Doug Jones down in Alabama. I haven't heard this, but this is all of our first time hearing this.
You got to get out and vote. We have done that, man. Yeah, ain't no changes.
When the last time you voted, man?
Man, I just voted for the mayor election, sir.
Why did people vote for him, but nobody's excited about Doug Jones?
Jones has placed some ads in black media, but Faya says they're not enough, and she thinks that's intentional.
I think the reason why they don't advertise on black radio and black newspapers is they don't want to turn off white voters.
The fear there is that if you focus too much on black voters, white Republicans that might be up for grabs could tune out.
You have the mentality here in Alabama and throughout that black people deserve where we are, and that unspoken belief that we are the inferior race permeates politics, education, and that is a real devastating problem that we face.
Okay. They made some very good points on that. Very good points on that. And the thing is, this is why when these politicians and the white supremacy vote is very important. And the thing is the backlash, if they see a politician supporting black people, the white supremacists, they will all get on code. And then they'll come out in droves and support. This is why black folks have to do the same exact thing. There's a lot of black folks in these cities. There's a lot of black folks in these places who need to come out when or if there's an agenda. And see, we need to do the exact same thing. If they have an agenda for black folks out here, and they say they're going to do something to black folks, we need to come out and just like we came out for Obama. Black folks came out in record numbers for Obama. We didn't get shit because we really didn't demand shit. We just wanted to see Obama up there. But the thing is, we need to come out in droves like that if they have an agenda. And I think it could happen. If they had an agenda for black society, we could come out and outnumber some of those white supremacist voters in some of these cities. You understand? So we're not going to let them off the hook, this whole thing where we're scared to piss off the white voters, so we're just going to let the Negroes suffer. Nah, we're not going for that no more. We're not going to go for that at all. Y'all need to step that shit up, and we need to start bringing an agenda
to the table, straight up and down. But the thing is, understand, there's going to be a backlash because black folks helped get Doug Jones up there. So watch out for the race soldiers. Watch out for what's happening. Keep your eye out and be very safe out there in Alabama. And you know what's interesting? I saw Charles Barkley look like he temporarily jumped off the coon train. And he was talking against Roy Moore. But don't be fooled by that. A broken clock is right twice a day. It's that type of shit. Charles Barkley will be right back on that coon train first thing tomorrow. The minute they make a fresh batch of butter biscuits, he'll be right there. So don't be fooled. He's talking about what kind of a degenerate that Roy Moore is. But the thing is, it's easy to talk against somebody like Roy Moore, somebody who's a complete fucking freak. It's easy to talk against him if you got any kind of common sense. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But what I really want to talk about today, because the theme is messing up the bag. And another bag that black folks messed up was this kid, Keaton Jones, and his mother, Kimberly Jones. Now, this has been the talk on social media and the mainstream media for the last couple of days. Now, for those who don't know, a few days ago, there was this white kid. He's a sixth grader and looked like he had some kind of surgery or something. So he might have been in some kind of accident, but looked like he has had some type of surgery. So there's some kind of impediment there. And he did a video talking about how he was bullied. He did a video crying like, oh, man, bullying is wrong. And his mom was kind of egging him on. And why do people bully, mom? What do they do it for, mom? And, you know, the mom was really egging him on. And there was a lot of sympathy towards this child. A lot of people felt sorry for him. You know, and I was very empathetic to him. I'm sympathetic to him. And I still am to a certain degree because he's a child. And I don't beat up on children, and I don't really knock kids around verbally. He's still a kid. He's not a white supremacist yet, from what I know. But there are rumors, and I will talk about that in a minute. So I'm not going to shit on... Now, people have been shitting on this kid now. But, you know, I really don't go in on kids. You dig? And I understand the kid had some kind of surgery. I don't know what's going on with him, but there's a physical thing going on. So I'm not going to shit on the kid. But his mom, on the other hand. Now, you had all of these celebrities coming out. You had Snoop. You had Plies. You had all types of athletes coming out, you know, showing support for the kid, which was fine. But there were a lot of black folks going overboard. I think Rihanna. I mean, just a lot of black folks were just coming out of the woodworks for this kid. Like, hey, man, you can be my friend. You can come hang with me. You know, black folks were going a little overboard with this kid being a bully. Being bullied, rather. I'm sorry. A lot of black folks were really going over the top. And I know some white people in Hollywood, they were, like, inviting them to the Avengers premiere and movie premieres. They were doing a lot. But black folks seemed like they were really going out of their way. They were like, oh, okay, now you see how it is to be oppressed. So we're going to wrap our arms around you because we're now in the struggle together. I think black folks had that mentality. And the thing is, I did a little research. And I put out a meme a few days ago of his mom, this kid, his mom, some stuff from her Facebook page, her making these coded anti-black posts, and the mom is sitting on Facebook with Confederate flags and the whole nine. And I put up a meme, and the meme went viral. And if you Google a lot of the media stories about the mother and the kid, a lot of the media outlets are crediting me for outing the woman. A lot of news outlets are saying activist filmmaker Tariq Nasheed outed the mother as racist because it was my meme that went viral. So I've been getting a lot of backlash because of that. Even on the initial post, you go there now, go to my Instagram, these white supremacists are mad at me because the reports are that I was the one who initially outed the woman. I was the one who made it go viral. It is true to a certain degree. I did. I absolutely did do, you know, I verified the research and I went back and I checked some of the woman's post and I made a meme and that meme went viral. Yes, I did. I will take credit for that. And a lot of people, especially in not just in the dominant society, I had some Negroes. I had some athletes kind of talk a little sideways. And what's interesting, the mother, she's one of those anti-kneeling people. She makes these posts against NFL players kneeling. So she has a lot of stuff against that. And the irony is so many, and I think this was before they knew about the woman's views, but a lot of athletes were reaching out to the woman. But even after it became known that the woman had these anti-black views and anti-NFL protest views, there were still NFL players caping for this woman. One in particular, I'm going to put his name out there. He hopped on my Twitter, Trent Brown. Now, who does Trent Brown play for? He hopped on my Twitter. This is what he said. Let me find out what this nigga said. Oh, yeah, he said, Treek, what his mom has going on has nothing to do with him being bullied. It's all about him, not his mom. Now, this is a Negro named Trent Brown. Who does Trent Brown play for? He's a professional football player. Hold on. Trent Brown plays for the San Francisco 49ers. Trent Brown plays for the 49ers. That was my man Kaepernick's team. I'm going to ask Kaepernick about Trent Brown's ass. I'm going to call Cap and ask him about that because Trent Brown sounded like he was a little bit on the coon train. Excuse me. I'm going to ask Cap about this dude because this nigga was caping hard. You dig? But a lot of people were upset because we put the woman's information out there and she has these Confederate flags. She's skinning and grinning. I'm going to read one of the posts she has, but she also, not only was she on that whole I stand for the flag thing, she actually sold shirts. That's another thing. So she was monetizing her little racist views. She sold shirts saying, I stand for the flag, I kneel for Jesus, or I kneel for God, or I kneel for the cross. It was something like that. So she was like really invested in this whole anti-protest thing, black folks protesting. She was one of those people who's really against that. But the post she made was something where she's bullying black people. And she tried to code the language, but we all know what it is. She's whining about her son being bullied, and she's bullying black people. This is one of her post that she put up. It says, Dear butthurt Americans, meaning black folks being butthurt over not wanting to be shot, protesting police brutality, we're butthurt Americans. But this is what she said. If you aren't bleeding, no bones are sticking out, and you can breathe, stop crying. For the love, some folks clearly never picked a switch. Now, let me stop for a second. You know what that means? What she wanted to say sounds like, y'all never really picked cotton. So she just changed it for switch so she can try to code the language a little bit. That's what it sounds like. Some folks never picked cotton. But she's going to say it's a switch. Okay. All right. And then she says, before y'all start talking to me about metaphorical, emotional, financial, or historical blood and brokenness, don't go join a group. So that was directed towards black people. See, when black folks say, hey, we put our blood and sweat in this country, we did this, she's saying, don't talk to me about that. It's that whole suck it up buttercup talk that these white supremacists love throwing on us. And she's up here with a Confederate flag grinning. There's another picture of her kids. One has an American flag. Another one has a Confederate flag. So anytime you see somebody with a Confederate flag, it's very safe to assume and suspect that they are a white supremacist. Don't let nobody run that game about Southern heritage. That's a crock of bullshit. I was arguing with some white supremacists early about some Southern heritage. That flag is not about Southern heritage. It was never about Southern heritage. The people who made the flag were very clear about what the flag was about. They were very specific that the flag was about white supremacy. William Thompson, the man who created the flag, was not from the South. He was from Ohio. He said in his own words, this flag represents white supremacy. These white supremacists love running that bullshit on people who don't know no better. I am a historian. You cannot run that game on me. I know what the flag was about. I know what it has always been about. It has never been about Southern heritage. This is why people like Kid Rock runs around with the Confederate flag. That nigga's from Detroit. He's not from the damn South. It represents white supremacy. You have police forces up there in, I think, Minnesota, Montana. They have Confederate flags. That's the farthest north you can get. It's never been about no Southern heritage. It's always been about white supremacy. Always. The vice president of the Confederacy back then, Alexander Stevens. I mean, he went on and on and on and on how their whole movement was about white supremacy. Their words, not ours. Please, black folks, don't ever, ever, ever let these white supremacists run that it's about Southern heritage game on you. Understand. You don't need a confession from them, black people. See, I don't go too long in the conversation with them because they like to waste time. Time wasting is a very strong tool for the white supremacists. When you see a Confederate flag, just assume that it's a white supremacist. You don't need a confession from them. They're going to lie and talk in circles. All right, just let that shit go in one ear and out the other. Say, okay, well, thank you very much, sir. I'm going to watch my back around you. Everything about that flag is white supremacy. Nothing more, nothing less. It's nothing about no fighting the Civil War, Southern heritage, nothing. Bullshit. So this woman had that flag because she has white supremacist views. And this brings another question. Now, if she has white supremacist views and she's having her children hold that flag up and she's talking all of this coded language, this anti-black protest language on her page, what is she telling those kids behind closed doors? Because we know what she's telling them behind closed doors. We know that she's not codifying anything behind closed doors. So those kids get to hear the real deal white supremacy behind closed doors. So that brings the question, was little Keaton at school regurgitating some of his mama's white supremacist bullshit? Because a lot of people are saying that the kid might have been at school calling folks nigger and all that. Somebody hemmed his little ass up, which is a possibility. Because he's just making it seem like, if you look at the video, they're just making it seem like they were bullying the kid because they thought he was ugly. But understand how white supremacy work. And I'm talking about his mother. White supremacists, they have a very strong history of instigating something. And when people react to them, they play the victim. It's the George Zimmerman thing. George Zimmerman goes out there as a predator stalking black people with a gun. He's an armed psychopath. He went out there and stalked Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin fought for his life, and then Zimmerman went into victim mode like he was being attacked and he had to kill him in self-defense, and all the other white people co-signed that. So the white supremacists are very good at instigating shit, and when people react to them, they get into victim mode. So that's a very strong possibility that that kid was at school saying some crazy shit he wasn't supposed to say. And then somebody put them fangs on him and hemmed him up. Now, a lot of folks were saying, well, damn, where's the proof of that? Well, where's the proof of him being bullied? Where's the video of him being bullied? If we're going to go there, there's no proof that he was actually bullied and people did all that shit to him because he was ugly. There was no proof of that. You understand? So that is a possibility based on the mother, because a lot of folks kept saying their whole argument was, well, why are we talking about the mother? The mother has nothing to do with that. Oh, yes, the hell it does. Yes, the hell it does, because if the mother is giving him a certain mentality and he's going to school with that mentality, people are going to hem him up. And from what I understand, the principal said that the story is definitely exaggerated. There was an incident, but it wasn't as severe as they made it out to be. You dig? So we got to understand the game out here, family. And we don't need to go for everything that the white supremacists tell us, because if you look at the video, you really look at it, you can tell the mom was kind of really egging him on and kind of scripting him a little bit, telling him what to say and kind of leading him a certain way, because the mom, she knew she was going to try to make a hustle out of this. The mom videotaped him and she was going to put it online, and the mom planned on really milking this thing, and the mom had a bag secured. She knew what she was doing. That's why she videotaped him, and she started kind of egging him on and telling him what to say. How does it feel to be bullied? Feels bad, mama. Why do you think they do it? I don't know, mama. Why do they bully? Well, you know, some folks, you know, it was that whole thing. She was coaching him. She was coaching him. So she knew she was going to go out there and put the shit out there and get some sympathy. And then try to milk it. And, you know, there's a GoFundMe page, and the family, they're trying not to take responsibility for the GoFundMe page, but shit, somebody's responsible for that page. They might have had somebody, a friend or a relative or whatever, but they got almost $60,000 like in a day. So they were going to try to milk this thing, but we exposed it and we messed the bag up for them. Now, look, a lot of media outlets, they've been calling me all day. I mean, I've been getting media outlets from Canada. Everybody's been calling me. I just been real busy, so I haven't had a chance to hit a lot of folks up. But a lot of folks are, I mean, this is like an international story now. I've been getting international media hollering at me. And if you go to my Instagram page, read some of the comments. Read some of the latest comments. Go to Instagram. I got somebody right now on Instagram. Let me read one of them. It says, "You racist piece of shit." They're talking to me. "That kid didn't deserve to get bullied because his mom has a flag, you stupid motherfucker." I'm going to read it in the white supremacist voice. "You're the fucking reason I don't feel bad when cops kill black kids. You motherfuckers don't have sympathy for ours, so why should we have sympathy for your young thug kids?" That's on my Instagram right now. Somebody else, another white supremacist, "He's a fucking child. Feel how you feel about the mother, but an innocent child was made to feel less than worth living. Seriously, he's innocent. Don't use your twisted logic when the whole video was about a poor child. Shame on you." Now, to all you white supremacists with that mentality, kiss the blackest part of my ass, because you guys celebrate when black children get their brains blown out by race soldiers. Fuck all of you with a sick dick. You celebrate when black folks, and black children in particular, get their brains splattered from walking home from school or playing in the park. You celebrate it. So I don't want to hear you whining and how this is an innocent kid. There are a lot of innocent black kids who are harmed by race soldiers, and y'all don't say nothing. This kid just got his feelings hurt, and we're supposed to just drop everything and go run and hug him up. No. I feel bad for any kid who's teased or taunted, but that's where it stops for me. I'm not one of these coon and tap dancing niggas. "Oh, Lord, you can come to my house, little kid, and I'll fry you some chicken." Fuck all that. Niggas are doing the most. Don't chill out. You can have sympathy without all the damn tap dancing. I ain't doing all that now. Yeah, I be your friend. You come on over here. We got biscuits. Fuck all that. Him and his racist ass mom. Fuck that. And the thing is, y'all talk all that shit about, well, why are we bringing up the parents? Oh, Tariq, why did you dox the mom? Why are you bringing the mom into it? Y'all do that shit all the time. If something happens to a black person, let's go to Tamir Rice. When Tamir Rice was killed because he didn't have a criminal record, you couldn't dig up no dirt on a fucking 12-year-old. Y'all went in on the little boy's mom. Y'all went in on the mother. The mother told me all types of shit, how people would dig into her background. And we're talking about Ohio. In Ohio, when that little boy fell in that cage, that gorilla cage, and they had to kill the gorilla. What was that gorilla's name? Harimbi? Something like that. They had to kill the gorilla. The little boy fell in the cage, and then they had stories about the boy's dad having a jail record. I mean, that had nothing to do with nothing. They were talking about the little boy who fell in the gorilla cage. Well, his dad got a jail record. The fuck did that have to do with anything? Nothing. And yeah, what's interesting, and a lot of people are pointing this out, over there in Cleveland, LeBron James, this is real strange. LeBron James came out, you know, offering stuff to Keaton and all that, but LeBron James was very quiet about Tamir Rice. It was on some, well, we need to wait till all the facts come out, that type of shit. No, niggas, all y'all got to get off that bullshit. See, y'all want to say something when white mommy and white daddy say something, or if it's a white kid, then it's okay. Y'all show out. If it's a white kid, get their feelings hurt. Y'all niggas are just running out there with apple pies and cake and, oh, you come to the barbecue. You tripping over yourselves, bowing down to the white family. And many of y'all were very quiet when some of these black kids were killed, particularly Tamir Rice. Y'all should have been reaching out to their family like that, like I did, because I'm telling you, I practice what the fuck I preach. I reached out to the family early and helped pay for the funeral early. Where the fuck were all you people? See, when it wasn't popular, I don't do shit because it's popular. Niggas be doing shit just to be kind of showing out because it's popular. When you do shit when it ain't popular, that shows your character. When you're doing shit where you don't get the approval of white mommy and white daddy, that shows your character, niggas. See, white mommy and white daddy didn't give y'all approval to step up and really reach out to Tamir Rice's family and other black families who are going through race soldiers harming them. But the thing is, we messed up the bag for them. And let me play a clip of the mom. The mom is copping, please. The mom was on she's on a couple of news shows. She's out here copping, please, heavy. Please don't tell me I didn't lose my thing. Where is it? Let me find it. Because I had it all set up for you guys. And let me see. Okay, I'm going to find it. Let me get on the phone. Let me take a call, and I'll find it while I'm talking. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Flex. This is Callie from Los Angeles. I'm one of your regulars on your Tariq radio board. I've been listening to you for years, man, and I've been meaning to call you, man. This particular story, it's got me riled up. I realized that when this kid was crying, it made me think about how when white guys lose it and they cry about their lives, they basically take it out on other people.
And that's another thing too. Because I'm looking at this kid and I'm like, okay, the way he's being bullied or whatever, this kid reminds me of like one of these damn cops who's been bullied all his damn life, and then they want to go take it out on Negroes. That little kid kind of reminds
me.
I did get that vibe, and that's why we got these phrase soldiers. Go ahead, buddy.
I'm sorry, Creek, but I thought of something. Actually, this other guy brought this up that. And you might remember this. Okay, remember a few years ago, there was a guy on Sunset. It was Sunset and Vine where his girlfriend broke up with him, a white guy, and he started shooting. And that could have been a mass shooting right there. I don't know if you remember that. A black guy got killed in the Mercedes.
I remember that.
And also, check this out. I forgot about this, too, that a few years ago, there was a white pilot whose girlfriend broke up with him in Europe, and he dove his plane full of passengers into the side of a mountain. Remember that?
God damn, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So. Now the reason why I'm bringing this up, Tariq, is because I found that when like these mass shootings, I thought about this because there was a guy who killed his family. Usually, when a white guy kills his wife, he's going to kill the kids, he's going to kill the dog, he's going to kill the neighbor's dog, he's going to lose his friggin' mind. When a black guy kills his wife, that's all that happens.
Mm.
And I realized like with this kid and a lot of white people that I know, man, they cry over the littlest thing. And if you look at the statistic on suicide, white males commit 7 out of 10 suicides. What do they got to kill themselves for, you know?
Well, the thing is, I'm going to talk about that often. But thank you. But, yeah, a lot of the white supremacists, when you're told that, you know, the world revolves around you and things don't, the minute things don't go your way, okay, well, then shit, everybody has to die. It's that type of thing. Just like this white identity extremist over there in New Mexico a few days ago just went up in a school and shot up a school and killed two people. And he had a little manifesto, and basically he was like, I hate my job, life sucks, so I'm going to kill myself, but I'm going to kill some other people in the process. That's the white supremacist mentality. Everything is supposed to go my way, and the minute it don't, well, everybody has to die because I'm white and I'm God. It's that God complex. You understand? It's real crazy with them. Black folks got to understand the illogical mentality that goes on with the white supremacists. But this is Kimberly Jones and her son. It's a real quick clip of them. They're on the media circuit now, Cop and Please. And this is her making excuses for her racism. She used the whole, well, it was just fun and games, that excuse. Hold on.
After alleged social media posts, some believe are from his mother, Kimberly Jones, caused a swift backlash from those who earlier quickly jumped online to support him.
We're not racist. I mean, and people that know us know that.
The Tennessee mother's...
We're not racist. I mean, she looks so methed out and trailer parkish, by the way.
Facebook account, which originally posted the bullying video, is now private. Jones told ABC News the photo of her family posing with the Confederate flag is real, but says it's not racist.
It's never racist. That's the thing. And black folks, please stop waiting on them to confess. They can walk around with a Klan. You know, the Klan actually says that they're not racist. I've seen Klan members who said, oh, I'm not racist. You got a fucking Klan uniform on talking about you're not racist. So we got to stop waiting on a confession from them. If you listen to Richard Spencer, he'll tell you he's not racist. They'll try to say some shit. Well, I'm a race realist. You understand? But we got to stop waiting on confessions from them.
Posing with the Confederate flag is real, but says it's not racist in any way.
It was meant to be ironic and funny and extreme. I am genuinely, truly sorry. If I could take it back, I would.
Despite Jones' photos and alleged writing coming to light, many people online are still choosing to stand with Keaton.
What do they mean, alleged writing? It's her writing. It was her page. It wasn't alleged. See, the media is still trying to cop a plea for her. They're still trying to throw her a bone. This is not alleged. This isn't alleged. And the media is reluctantly on it because social media got on it, because I was one of the people who helped expose the bullshit. So they reluctantly had to jump on it because it was such a firestorm of people getting on the racism of the mother. So they had to jump on it. But notice what she said. And I've warned people of that bullshit excuse many times. The white supremacists always try to hide their shit behind, I'm just joking. Oh, we're just being ironic. It was just fun and games, just being funny. I had my Confederate flags just for a joke. It always starts as a fucking joke. I've said that a million times. They always try to mask their shit behind jokes. Oh, we're just throwing up the OK symbol. It's not really a white supremacist symbol. It's just like a joke between all of us. And then all of a sudden you're throwing up jokes in Charlottesville, and then people start dying because you're running them over. White extremist policies always start off as a joke at first, because white supremacy, the whole concept is so asinine, so they have to funnel it in by minimizing the seriousness of it. Because when you look at white supremacy, you're like, this is some stupid shit. That don't make no sense. But the way they bring it in, once they get it in there, it starts to spread because you're unsuspecting of it. And by the time you wake up and see how serious it is, it's too late. That's the trick that black folks have been falling for years. Just like Jim Crow, I explained this before, when the Jim Crow era started. Before Jim Crow was a comedy act. It was a white dude dressing up in blackface, dancing around as a joke. And all of a sudden, they kept letting this joke go on and on and on and on. Then Jim Crow became the law. They had Jim Crow laws and policies that fucked black people up. The Klan started off as a joke. The Klan literally started off as a practical joke. They were going to put on some sheets and scare black folks as a joke. They got drunk. They said, hey, this thing is fun. We need to keep doing this. And all of a sudden they got real serious. Then the jokes became lynching. You understand? So they always start off as jokes. Don't ever be fooled by that. That's the pastime of the white supremacists. If you get a room full of white supremacists, first they'll start telling racist jokes to each other. They always start off like that. And these same people telling racist jokes, they'll end up on a jury pool, or they'll end up teaching black kids and funneling them into special ed. They'll end up in a hospital removing somebody's damn uterus and giving it to a white woman. See, I take white supremacist jokes very seriously because it's never really a joke. White supremacists don't play like that. As our brother Neely Fuller said, they made white supremacy fun. They made work and play fun. They've mixed it. They successfully mixed work and play, which is why they can just do it nonstop. They can make subjugating people nonstop. That's fun to them. That's why they can do it. See, with black folks, empowering yourself, it ain't fun. Empowering yourself against white supremacy, it's not fun. Black folks, because we like to have fun too. We see white mommy and white daddy having fun. We want to have some fun too. But getting a code of conduct, working and building outside of the white supremacist structure as much as you can to replace that structure, because you can't really build outside of a structure that you're in, but you can remove the structure and replace it with a system of justice if you understand the code. But see, doing that, that's hard work. We want to have some fun. We want to turn up. We want to be cock-eyed and kiki-ing with white mommy and white daddy for some sexual access. So we don't want to put in the work that we need to put in. So the thing is, I do like the fact that black folks got on code to a certain degree to expose the fuckery going on with Kimberly Jones and her son. Unfortunately, you had a lot of big name black folks who were caping a little bit too hard. But this is why it's important for us to act as our own media. We got to understand the new black media, and we have to understand how some of the old people, or the mainstream media or the traditional media, they're not going to bring information like this to the masses. That's why it's up to us to stay on top of the game 24 hours a day. We always got to be on top of it, even through criticism. I get criticized all the time. They call me a race baiter because I never let up on white supremacy. If you Google race baiter, my picture comes up. It's like Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and me. If you Google race baiter, my name come up, because I never stop. I stick to the white supremacist's ass, exposing what they do. I'm always watching what they do, what little policy they got cooking up, because that's what we have to do. I got children, you dig? And I don't want a situation where I'm up here sleeping pacified and they're going to end up being harmed. I got boys. I got like 3 fucking boys. So I got to create a situation where they're going to be safe, or as safe as I can make them, and other boys like them, and girls too, because girls are not really safe either, but boys are really targeted by these goddamn race soldiers out here and these white supremacists. So we got to stay on top of our game all the time. You dig? Oh yeah, by the way, speaking of coons, I'm going to be on Jesse Lee Peterson's show this week. They've been asking me forever. I'm going to go on there. He has a show, something on YouTube, something. It's some kind of little talk show thing. So I'm going to go on there with them, you know, reluctantly. But I said I would do it. They called me. They kept asking me. I'll come on there. I'm going to come on there and chop it up with him. So that's going to be this Thursday morning, family. So that's going to be very interesting. You dig? Oh yeah, and Jemele Hill from ESPN, she retweeted my thing, my meme, and Breitbart, they were like, Jemele Hill tweeted a race baiting conspiracy theorist. And Breitbart, of all places, they were calling me all types of race baiters and race this, race that. This is Breitbart. This is a self-admitted platform for the alt-right. You got so many white supremacists over at that's Steve Bannon shit. You got the head, one of the head white supremacists in charge, his platform calling somebody a damn race baiter. And their whole thing is anti-black white supremacist rhetoric. But anyway, man, I digress. We messed up the bag for them. These white supremacists are a little upset. We messed up the bag for them in Alabama. They couldn't secure the bag because black folks messed it up. But we got to get us part of that bag, too. We got to learn how to get some of that bag spread out for us. But we got to stay on top of the game. Don't let these white supremacists try to milk money out of folks and we don't vet them and get into their background. We got to treat them the exact same way they treat us. They always look into our background. We look out and we look into their background as well. You dig? Yeah, somebody in the chat room said, what's a race baiter? I keep asking the damn question and none of these white supremacists can ever explain what a race baiter is. I would love to know what a race baiter is. You dig? And anytime you hear the word race baiter, usually it's a white supremacist saying it and they can't define what it is. Just like nigger, they can't really define what a nigger is. You dig? Oh, yeah, Charm. Shout out to Natural Charm in the room. She said she Googled it and my picture did come up. Yeah. Nigga, I am one of the head race baiters in charge, according to the white supremacists. You know, that's why they're trolling on my page all the time, because I race baiter basically means somebody who points out white supremacy. You dig? But anyway, y'all, I digress. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad that you guys tuned in to a late night show. Anyway, man, right now, everybody, go to 1804movie.com. Get your copy of 1804 right now. 1804 Movie, The Hidden History of Haiti. And you can get it on Amazon, too. But it's best that you get it on 1804movie.com because you can... You can also watch the stream of it. You can also watch the stream of the movie. I want to read real quickly before I go some of the comments on Amazon for 1804, because most of the comments, the majority of the comments are very positive because these are people who actually seen the film. But you have a couple of white supremacists on here who clearly didn't see the film. They're mad because of the concept of the film. And that's always funny. Now, those are the butthurt people watching butthurt white supremacists complaining about the film. And look, here's some of the white supremacists. They're like, this film is glorifying the killing of white people and hints to the viewer, unlike other historical films, that this part of history should be repeated in modern times. One star. Another one. Sickening. The violence in this movie is lauded in such a positive manner by the interviewees, it made my jaw drop. This music is a call to enact violence in the present day by people who perceive to be oppressed. I get the impression that the makers of this movie want to start a race war. That's the butthurt. If you got all that from a trailer, you already had insecurities. That shit is funny. But anyway, y'all, let me drink some more white supremacist tears here. Shout out to New York. Shout out to y'all in room. Much respect. I'm going to be in Hawaii next week. Where are all my Hawaii people? I'm going to be on the Big Island, though. I've never been to the Big Island. I've been to Hawaii a million times. But I'm going to be on the Big Island. Usually I'm in Waikiki. Last time I went, I was in Maui. We were supposed to go to Dubai, you know, the family vacation for the holidays because the kids are out of school. We're going to go to Dubai, but my daughter did not get a passport. She's been lollygagging. Y'all know my 18-year-old daughter, Taria, lollygagging about getting her passport renewed. So we're going to Hawaii, but we're going to probably go to Dubai for spring break or something like that. But anyway, y'all, it's been real. Go to 1804movie.com to get your copy of 1804. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I will chop it up with you guys on Ustream this Sunday.